My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
But let's talk some Ravens preseason opener a week from tonight against Philadelphia. Ravens back on the field at 1. From the Baltimore Banner, let's welcome in Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How's it going?
Good. It's going all right. Let's talk about that offensive line. And I guess on the left side, not a lot of offensive things going on. Everything seems to be settled. But what have you gathered here on the right side as they're trying to figure some things out? What did Harb say by the second week of whatever? They're going to have it done. Or how far away are we from some realistic resolution there?
You know, I think it probably depends on how next Thursday goes, that preseason game. Don't know how many of those, you know, starters for Philly are going to be playing, but there's a good amount of talent on that line, a good amount of depth. So, you know, if they overwhelm the Ravens on that right side, then we'll probably talk about another 2 weeks until we figure things out. I think it was always unrealistic for Harbaugh to, you know, have this thing locked down by the end of week two of training camp, considering, you know, just how few padded practice we've had. But, you know, they still got time. Obviously, you know, it seems like Roger Rosengarten's making a little bit of a charge. Your opinion on him can really depend on what part of practice you're watching. You know, like I was telling Ben yesterday, sometimes he's, you know, one good play after another, boom, boom, boom. And then you watch him in a one-on-one and Malik Harrison, and he's getting whooped pretty easily. And Malik Harrison is not exactly, you know, any of the guys on the Chiefs, Karlaftis, Jones, that they might be facing in week one. So, you know, it could be as simple as they just are biding their time until a starter emerges, and maybe that means Patrick McCurry gets the start for the first couple of weeks until they feel comfortable enough in Rosengarten. Maybe there's enough time for Faalele, if he just flames out a right guard, to go back to right tackle and make a late charge there. But it seems like they're pretty intent on, you know, having Faalele be that power guy inside. I just don't know if he has enough juice right now to say that he's comfortably ahead of anyone at that spot.
Jonas, the thing that I see is, especially the rights, they're not very physical. That's the thing. I mean, like him and Sala, you know, I mean, they're 380 pounds or whatever, and they catch everything. They don't deliver any blows. You know, I mean, they're not knocking people off the line of scrimmage. And maybe the Ravens' defensive front is that good, but the Ravens' defensive front, you know, wins that line of scrimmage all the time.
Yeah, and I think that is the hope with Faalele. You know, I guess you could say it should be the hope for Ben Cleveland, just that if you put a guy who's that big, that you'll get enough confident reps where, you know, force equals mass times acceleration, and he's got a lot of mass, and, you know, if he comes off the line strong enough, and that's good acceleration, and you're talking about a big old, you know, molly-whopping force coming at your three tech, but it hasn't happened yet. You know, that the pad level, as you said, is a concern. Ben Cleveland now potentially missing a little bit of time. If what he suffered yesterday was actually a concussion, would be a blow. You know, that's something that he dealt with as a rookie, and it kind of, you know, sidelined him for training camp. And, you know, really things haven't gotten on track for him ever since. So, you know, I think that that was probably a consideration with Harbs, just wanting to get a guy who, even though he's not a natural fit in terms of his size profile, could give you some oomph there inside next to Rosengarten, if that's indeed who it ends up being. But, you know, as you said, this is a tough defensive line. Maybe it'll be easier against some of the other teams on the schedule, but I don't know if the Ravens can take their chances with that kind of proposition right now.
With Rosengarten, what I see, Jonas, is I you know, he needs a year, kind of like Voorhees. I mean, because Voorhees has got a man body now. You know, he redshirted last year, and he looks like, you know, he's rocked up, whereas I'm a little disappointed in the way that Rosengarten looks, just because he's kind of soft-looking.
Do you think the reason that we haven't seen a lot of him at the podium is because the Ravens don't want to throw that they get that PR out there?
Yeah.
This is your right tackle. No. I mean, like, listen, he was never, you know, obviously he can run very fast for mm-hmm. tackle.
Yeah.
You know, I do think, if I can do a slight tangent, like, I think it's probably not a totally off-base prediction to say that this is going to be, like, the most zone scheme heavy team of the Lamar offense because of those concerns of being able to blow teams off the line of scrimmage with, you know, gap and power concepts. I do think that we're probably going to see a lot of inside zone, probably a lot of outside zone. Obviously that really makes it important for the Ravens to find that blocking tight end, because those schemes are a lot tougher to execute if you don't have that guy who can, you know, take that five tech or that seven tech and handle him adequately. But with Rosengarten, you know, I know you've brought it up a couple times, just that Michigan game, that those were not blue chip prospects. It was obviously the end of a long season for him, but you do wonder if you get a guy with a certain threshold of good strength and good speed and just good football IQ, good football aptitude, you know, is that going to be enough to overwhelm Rosengarten, you know, more than you would like? You know, so much of what he has in his bag is just all these different kind of, you know, sets, right? You know, hit a guy with a curveball and a fastball and a changeup, and you do enough to unbalance these defensive linemen, these edge rushers. But if you don't have the physical, you know, skill sets to make these guys hesitate for a second, then you're probably at a disadvantage every single time you try one of those curveballs.
Hey, Jonas, the thing that surprises me is, I mean, maybe other than a 5-yard completion, Lamar and Bateman are not on the same page. I mean, deep, especially, I mean, Lamar threw one nice deep ball and Bateman would have been a really nice catch that maybe would have got some confidence for Lamar that, hey, you know, Bate made a play for me. But I mean, Jesus, I mean, Lamar overthrows him by 10 yards. It's not even close.
Yeah. And I don't know how much you can put on that for chemistry. If he's just overthrowing a guy, I thought like, Bateman should have been 10 yards further downfield. You know what I mean? You know, I did my charting for yesterday's practice, guys, and if you want to read it on the BaltimoreBanner.com, I think I had Lamar targeting Bateman 5 or 6 times, and I say 5 or 6 because one of those throws, it just wasn't clear whether he was expecting Bateman to pull up on a back shoulder, you know, convert a go route into a back shoulder catch.
Oh, the one that was out of bounds.
Or if he was just led Nelson Aguilar a little bit too far on a crosser. So 5 or 6 throws to Bateman's way. I had Bateman down with 1 catch and it was a short one. As you said, a lot of those attempts were deep shots. And if I, you know, do want to take the glass half full approach, which is saying that it's at least a good thing that Bateman is earning targets, which, you know, if you want to be a little bit critical of Zay Flowers, you can say that he is not. But that's been a little bit disappointing and surprising to me that, you know, we haven't seen the volume of looks at Zay this training camp, which was kind of in keeping with what we saw last year. But, you know, I'm sure they'll turn things on whenever the season starts. But I'm optimistic that with a month ahead of time for Bateman and Lamar to get on track, they could at least, you know, get some work in, get that synergy together, be better than they are here at the start of August. But obviously, you know, that is going to be a relationship that's going to be heavily scrutinized until they prove that they are on the same page, you know, totally and completely.
Yeah, Bateman, Lamar, lack of chemistry. I didn't know that was an issue. He's Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner. Last thing for you, Jonas, before we let you enjoy your weekend, head out to One Winning Drive as the Ravens are back on the practice field at 1 o'clock. You mentioned Michigan and blue chippers, et cetera, et cetera. David Ajabo, third year coming back from yet another injury. Assess his progress as we're a week away from the preseason opener.
Danny, did you talk about the rep against Kadir Ismail yesterday? Or should I?
Go ahead.
Okay. You know, there are certain plays that just, I can quote the youth nowadays, that kind of give you the ick. And this was one of them. It was, I think, a play-action drop back. You know, the tight end, who's Kadir Ismail, who is a converted D2, D3 wide receiver. Obviously, got great genes there with his daddy, Kadri, who's, of course, a living legend and in Raven media. But you would expect a guy who was a beast at Michigan, who is this athletic freak, to be able to more than handle a converted tight end who, you know, is a undrafted rookie. And Kadir just stands him up. I mean, it was just like he made him look like he was not really that much of a threat to get to the quarterback. And, you know, he obviously was cleared. Ajabo was cleared to come back to practice. So he's healthy enough to compete. I don't know how much there is there in terms of, like, getting that athleticism back. You know, obviously it's never fair to expect a running back to be the same athlete he was a year after an ACL. Maybe we should give, you know, David Ajabo the same grace. But frankly, he's been more impressive to me as a run defender mm-hmm. than a pass rusher this camp. And maybe, you know, we're talking about David Ajabo 2 or 3 months from now and, like, wow, he's really turned things on in the second half of the season. But there just hasn't really been any of those flashes of, you know, 1% or athleticism that leads you to believe that he can be a really impact player on this defense.
That sounds like a glass half empty assessment right there. Yeah. Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner. Jonas, as always, appreciate the time. Enjoy practice, a training camp practice, and we'll talk to you next Friday on the eve of the preseason opener against the Eagles there.
Awesome. Looking forward to it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner. So David Ajabo, we'll get more in-depth than that when we get the news from the Nest. Top of the hour when we come back, whip around, have it in the world of sports last night, what's happened historically with the Orioles. A couple of interesting ownership tidbits we'll get into on August the 2nd. Rock Abaco, Kobe Mayo. He's coming up. Everyone relax. Kobe Mayo is here. No longer hold the mayo.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
or Mayo,
Vinny and Hades with brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, time for the whip around here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Ted Nugent. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send a request, Plaza Sport text line. Nolan McGraw is waiting for you. It's Vinny and Haiti, Bob Haiti, Vinny Serrato. We got to blow through this quickly because we got Rocco Baco, bottom of the hour, talking about Coby Mayo making his major league debut tonight. Cleveland as the Orioles get their pants pulled down and spanked by the Guardians. We'll get to your phone calls, too. So we got a lot to get into. But how about these Olympic Games heading into its second week as we wrap up week number one? And maybe the greatest of the great, the GOAT, as they say, women's gymnastics. Well, doing what the GOAT does.
That should do it.
Oh, it's done.
That's what greatness looks like. Vulnerable in Tokyo and victorious here in Paris.
Simone Biles, NBC on the call, wins the all-around gold medal. Helped the United States team to the team gold medal. So Simone Biles, remember, had the problems 3 years ago dealing with the media, mental health issues, which we would never, ever joke about or question. Came out strong with a purpose, 27 years old. Not only is she considered among Vinny, if not the best women's gymnast or overall gymnast ever, now we're talking about here in greatest athlete terms now.
No doubt. I mean, Bob, I mean, she's must-watch TV. And just look at the people that went last night. You know, all the basketball players. Scottie Scheffler said best sporting event he's ever seen. Taylor Swift flew in for it.
Oh, boy. You know it's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. So it was – she's amazing. I mean, Bob, what she – the one time when, like, when she does her double – she was 11 feet 2 inches off the ground. I mean, her explosiveness is unbelievable to watch.
Yeah, Michael Jordan, David Thompson wish they had those sorts of hops bouncing up that high for sure. So congratulations to Simone Biles. Same with Katie Ledecky. Picked up a silver medal in the U.S. 4x200 relay. Her 13th medal overall as she just housed the competition a couple of nights ago in the 1500 freestyle. So Katie Ledecky, raised in downtown, well, down the road here in Bethesda. Congratulations to her. Other things, U.S. women win in basketball. The men are tomorrow against Puerto Rico. We got an Olympic update coming up in a matter of minutes. Baseball, Mike Trout out for the year. Torn meniscus. He has not played over 100 games in a season once in 5 years, going back to 2022.
24 games. I mean, Bob, is it time for him just to retire?
32 years old, same injury twice, re-tore it during his rehab assignment.
Got a ton of money.
Three MVPs already, so he's headed to Cooperstown. But we were talking about a guy that might be considered one of the greatest players of all time. And in his prime, may have been, but recent vintage, not so much. The bad news for Angels fans, he's Cal Ripken compared to Anthony Rendon, who's out for the year, who's never played more than 60 games during his five-year run with the Angels. So good luck with all that. Boxing tomorrow, big fight. Terrence Crawford goes for the WBA Junior Middleweight Championship against Israel Madrimov. It's in L.A. It's a pay-per-view extravaganza. Pitbull Cruz against Jose Valenzuela. A couple of heavyweight fights of great interest. So if you're a boxing fan, there's a big night tonight, or tomorrow night, rather, pay-per-view.
Bob, speaking of boxing, what about the Olympic? I haven't seen any ever.
The men are coming up on this weekend.
Okay.
August 3rd. And the only Olympic news we're hearing is controversial news in the women's side of things.
Yes.
But I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to get in trouble. And I know we're supposed to speak out on, but, you know, I'm not a genetic doctor. Let's just put it that way. But when headgear is getting cracked offside your head.
Oh, man.
Anyway, but we digress. It's August the 2nd, this day in sports history. How about 1979? Edward Bennett Williams bought the Orioles from Jerry Hoffberger for $12.3 million. Edward Bennett Williams was the controlling owner of the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jack Kent Cook came in. Bennett Williams was still the president into 1984 of the Washington Ball Club, as they were called, the Redskins then. Famous line of all time. Said, we gave George Allen an unlimited budget, and he exceeded it already. You know what I mean? But EBW bought the Orioles for $12.3 million. How about 1993, Peter Angelos Bought the Orioles for then, let's see, 79, 89, it's 10 years, 14 years later, he bought them for $173 million, which at the time was the highest price tag for a professional sports team in the United States. And then yesterday it was finalized that David Rubenstein took over the remaining 40% controlling interest from the Angelos family. He paid $1.73 billion. Dollars for the Orioles. So a little ownership news all happening on August 2nd. Real quick, Orioles history. 1997 in Oakland. Orioles over the A's, 13-3. Mike Bordick, yes. 2-for-4 with a homer, 5 ribbies. Chris Hoyles, Brady Anderson, also 1 yard. Mike Mussina, 12th win. 13-3. Birds, 2016. Orioles Park, Camden Yards. Pedro Alvarez, Nolan hit 2 homers. Jonesy and Matt Wieters also went deep as Dylan Bundy threw 7 innings of 1-hit ball, 7 Ks. Orioles beat the Rangers 5-1. We'll come back, talk about the current day Orioles, Rockabaco, MassinSports.com, and your Olympic update. Coming up next, it's Vinny and Haney with Nolan McGraw here on The Fan. Rockabaco, Rock, good morning. Thanks for joining us. I know you're busy. What's happening?
Hey, I got a stranglehold on the news down here. Just let you know. Or up here. I guess I'm up, right? Yeah,
as long as you don't have cat scratch fever, then you'd have to get a penicillin shot, I'm assuming. But with Coby Mayo, he's finally getting called up, which is great, as you reported last night on MassinSports.com. Tell everybody what he brings to the equation. But the other part of this question is, well, he's coming up today. What was wrong with yesterday and the day before that? Why the quick turnaround for Coby Mayo here?
That is the biggest curiosity, seriously, because, and we're going to find out later, usually the first question or one of the first you ask a player is, hey, when did you find out you were coming up? And, you know, who told you? And you do that just for color, just to kind of paint a picture for the reader. But seriously, the first question for me is, when did you find out? Like, was this, because I've heard rumblings that he already had known before last night's game that he was coming up. You know, get your passport because they're going to Toronto and we got a flight. And yet he played 7 innings. Which normally you wouldn't do. And then he came out, which normally happens only if there's an injury. Jackson Holliday got hit in the hand, I think right around the time Mayo came out. So I don't know whether the plan was, look, going to, you know, bring you up tomorrow, but we'll play you, get some more innings at third base. And then when Holliday got hit, they were like, ah, let's get him out of there. Or I'm just purely speculating and I'm totally wrong. But either way, this is a big bat that you're bringing up. We kept hearing, you know, there's imbalance on the roster. Too many left-handed hitters, need more right-handed hitters. They went out and got Eloy Jimenez, Austin Slater, who was great and Saved by the Bell. And it's like, well, you do have a pretty big one. Thanks for getting that. You do have a pretty big one in AAA, and also you just traded Austin Hayes, who was a right-handed bat plus defender who hit lefties. But that's how you end up getting Sir Anthony Dominguez. But he's a big bat. But he's a work in progress in the field. His throwing more than anything at third base, and he lowered the arm slot, and he looked much better in spring training. Then the problems happened again. So they've been working on that. First base, they've tried that, and I'm heard for now it's not real good. I thought they were going to work him out in the offseason spring training in the outfield. That was, I think, what he had been told, and it never happened. Would not be surprised at all if we see that in spring next year, you know, try him in right field. But – you know, he's a big bat, and I don't think you bring him up here to sit. It's just a question now, where do you fit him in? Is he going to be the primary third baseman with Jordan Westberg hurt? And you got O'Hearn and Mountcastle at first, and Jimenez is a platoon DH. I assume we're going to see an awful lot of that. And you hope he doesn't go through the growing pains that Holliday did with that 2-for-34.
Now, you talk about slumps offensively. Adley Rutschman, Rock, as you know, July was not kind to him. Last night was not kind to him. Batting average went from over 300 to barely above 260 right now. What in the wild world of sports is going on with Adley in the stick at this point in time?
I mean, he's a bust. I'm kidding.
Should have drafted Bobby Witt Jr.
There you go.
There we are.
I mean, I know he hits better as a DH, and that's probably just a coincidence. I have no idea, but it's just, yeah, it's a bit pretty prolonged now, and it is curious. I don't know if some of it's just hitting in tough luck, and some of it's just, you know, maybe a little bit out of rhythm, which we've seen with some other hitters at the plate, timing on pitches, a little bit behind on the fastball. You start pressing. He's too good a hitter to let that continue, and he was in the early MVP conversation. That's why it is early. But everybody was going off about Gunnar, and it was like, hey, what about Adley here? And I don't think there's great concern, but also, you know, Brandon is trying to rest him as much as he can, you know, getting him out of the lineup or DHing him to give him a little bit of a break. But you still want that bat in the lineup most nights. And they just, I mean, they're counting on guys like him. They have to heat up. I mean, that's, you know, it's you can't just rely on, all right, we're adding this guy or that guy, we'll be fine. The guys who are here that aren't producing right now have to do it. We've seen signs of Mullins heating up. Hayes did before the trade. Santander certainly as soon as the weather got hot. But they need Adley as well. And it's a little bit of a head-scratcher of what the problem is right now.
Rockabacco, MassetSports.com, joining us here on the Fab, Eddie and Haney, 105.7 The Fab. Featured artist Friday, Orioles, Guardians tonight, game two, four-game set. Cleveland wins the opener 3-1. Now, with the Orioles tonight, say there's a safe situation, Rock. The closer for Baltimore will be who?
Well, Kimbrel's had his reset again. He's pitched a couple times when it wasn't a safe situation. So I'm thinking it would be him. They do have a few other options now, obviously with Dominguez, with one of the Sotos, Gregory. They have a couple guys there. And it could be Cano as well, though. History has shown us, it has taught us, he's better in the eighth inning than he is the ninth. And I don't think he yearns to be the closer. He'll do what they ask, of course. But I remember talking to him in spring training to get his reaction to the Kimbrel signing. And he was like, it's great. You know, he's a closer. I'm not a closer. And I'm like, okay. It's not like he's afraid of it or shying away from it. But he's more than happy to be in that setup role, which got him to the All-Star game the previous summer. So I think it's Kimbrel again, but they do have some alternatives, and that's what they were seeking. Man, they missed Danny Coulon, though. You know, I can't stress that enough. And obviously, for obvious reasons, we've been harping on the starters that are out, and then you lose Mateo, you lose Westberg. But losing the Danny Coulon to surgery to remove the bone chips in his elbow, and he's not going to be back till September, they're hoping. That's a guy that got lefties and righties out. So what a luxury that was, not a matchup guy. And that would have been somebody you absolutely could have relied on as well. And he's gone. So that has really hurt them and got them scrambling to find other relievers. But I think it's back to Kimbrel. And, you know, he went on a really, really nice roll before when we were talking about how could he be an all-star snub. This has really just been two periods in the season where he's, you know, had some struggles. It just stands out so much when you're the closer. When you're a middle guy, or we talk about Rutschman, it's been a poor month. When you're a closer, you can't have a poor week. People are on you, and it impacts games. But I think they'll go back to him and just keep fingers crossed. It's going to be a roller coaster ride. They probably knew that when they signed him.
Hey, Rock, what's the difference that you've seen in Holiday when he was up before to now, not only hitting, but with his throwing and stuff too?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've always, you know, been impressed by how much he's progressed in the field considering he's a shortstop. He's playing second base. Hitting, I mean, not again to put too much pressure on the kid, but, you know, he had the grand slam, which is awesome and dramatic. But if you look overall, is that his only hit right now? And it's a very small sample size, and I'd have to go back and look. But overall, the numbers are still not great, but he had that really big swing. But he said he's much more relaxed and comfortable than he was that first time up, and that helps. And again, kid just turned 20 when he came up the first time. So you're not supposed to dominate every single level, including the majors. It usually doesn't work that way. There's usually that little bit of that learning curve and the way you're getting pitched and facing a lot of quality lefties or aren't as many in the minors, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I think you're at least seeing a kid who is more relaxed, but we're still going to need to see the production beyond, you know, that big swing on the Utah street.
Rockabacco, MassetSports.com. Rock, always appreciate the time. Enjoy Cleveland for the weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right. There's Rockabacco, everybody. We'll come back, reset the program for you, take your phone calls. We got news from the Nest coming up top of the hour. We're going to talk to Ravens. Vinny was out there yesterday. What did he see? What did he like? Because the Ravens were in pads. No pads today, but back at it at 1 o'clock. Buy or sell. We'll count some dough, hopefully at 12:15. Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer, talking about the start of the season. There was a game last night, but it got rained out. Preseason. We're going to move past the funhouse. Nolan has taken this like a man. Like Johnny Carson. Hey, we'll get to Phyllis Diller next week. We'll get to him at 12:45 because people have been on the phones and they want to talk. We'll talk about the Orioles, the trade deadline, what happened there. Kobe Mayo's coming up, probably going to play, get into the Ravens, the Olympics, anything we want to talk about. Let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, thanks for holding. How are you?
What's going on, Bob and Vinny? How y'all doing today?
Kevin, how you feeling, man?
Doing good, man. And Jillian Cooperstown with my family, so it's been cool to see the response from folks from all around responding to the Orioles gear and giving us, you know, giving us the props we've earned. And, you know, it's going to be a battle for the playoffs. But, you know, what we've gone through as a team has been fun and disappointing here too. But at the end of the day, a few of those smaller opinions from earlier won't matter much at the end. And I'm excited to see what this team's really made of and when it, you know, gets down to brass tacks.
Yeah, but they're shaky. They're shaky right now. I think we can all agree with that. And they're taking on Cleveland at the ball club that's had their number. Needless to say, Kevin, they got to pick up the pace a little bit. How's that sound?
100%, Bob. I couldn't agree with you more. And sometimes it's okay to be shaky. I mean, I'd rather just be a little bit shaky now and, you know, get good footing back under us and make that push for the World Series.
Yep, still tied for first. That matters.
Yes, sir. We're going to get that W today, though.
All right, Kevin, up in Cooperstown, enjoying some things with his son, playing a little baseball there in the historic home of the Baseball Hall of Fame. Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Baltimore. It's Trippy. Trippy, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Bob? What's up, Benny?
What up, Trippy?
Hey, man. Hey, Benny, man, you missed it yesterday. I was so upset with the Ravens yesterday, man. I don't know. Well, people say don't take it out on the Ravens. They said don't take it out on the Ravens, right? But I'm frustrated with the safe management team. You know, I had my baby girl out there yesterday. They just standing right there, letting the kids just run all over my baby girl. And they, you know what I mean? But I wanted to talk about the Ravens, man. I agree with Benny, right? I said I wasn't going to talk about Stephen, but I got to, man. Something don't seem right out there. The chemistry is off, man. You agree, Ben?
I mean, what I saw yesterday, I agree with. I mean, because one time Bateman ran a deep dig, and he was wide open in the middle of the field, and he was number one receiver, and then he dumped it to the tight end. So I don't know. They just – it does not look smooth between the two of them.
Oh, Trippy, so frustrated, he boarded the phone call. Did Bateman look like he was laboring at all because he had a slight injury thing a couple of days ago?
Did not. I mean, he runs good routes. I mean, he's quick out of his breaks and stuff. I mean, Bob, like on the deep routes, though, he wasn't out running. I mean, well, Stevens can run. And then who was the other one? Wasn't Humphrey. It would have been.
Is it Wiggins?
Wiggins. But Millett? I mean, he wasn't. He
Arthur
wasn't,
Millett?
Even in leaving, he wasn't leaving anybody. Bateman wasn't. But I'm telling you what. Oh, Bob, we'll get into it later. But I mean, the guy who's been playing pretty good, made two nice plays yesterday, was Armour Davis.
Yeah, we're excited about him.
Yeah.
And Noel and I were talking about him earlier in the week. Let's go to Walbrook. It is Tony. Tony, what's happening?
What's going on, Bob? What's going on, Vinny?
Not much.
How you guys doing? I'm calling. I'm not going to lie to y'all, man. I'm a bit concerned about the Orioles. Two things. I'm a bit concerned about the Orioles. I don't mind what they did on the trade deadline. I just think a lot of people are mad that we didn't get a splash acquisition. But I think we kind of filled in the needs that we needed to, you know, right in and there. And I think it'll come around. But just a little concerned because when I'm at work and I see the MLB app and it's like we maybe have a lead like 5-1 or 6-0. Like, I'm not all the way comfortable with it anymore. So, like, that's my first thing. Like,
Grayson, to your point, the other day when the Orioles were kind of slapping around Toronto, he kind of kept them in the game. It was 4-3 when Holiday hit the grand slam that put it out of reach. So, I'm not going to nitpick about a guy that's got 13 wins. Yeah, I am. I want a little bit more. It's time to take it up. You're not going to be Corbin Burns yet. You got that potential. But, Grayson, you got to start to really pitch like a number two. Am I complaining too much here?
No. I don't think you're complaining. I mean, I think you're pretty much on point. And my second thing, I mean, I listen to you guys all the time. I've been gone for a little minute. I haven't been able to call in. And the day I call in, it's also the day that Q decides to call in. I mean, this is just great. I mean, but he says that he wasn't here because of him being sensitive to Nolan. I mean, Nolan must have really got under his skin. But Vinny.
Nolan is a very abrasive man. No doubt. I got to be honest with you.
Yes. And very Nolan's emotional cool, guy.
But Vinny, I think we really, really know why he didn't call. And I think we all can attest because of those damn Jets. I mean, he doesn't have to lie and put it on Nolan. Just be real about it.
Yeah, the Jets are going to be interesting.
Thanks, Tony.
The Jets are going to be interesting. You know, it all depends on what Rodgers does.
Nate Davis from USA Today, we had him on last week because he did his record predictions, has him winning the Super Bowl.
Damn!
I mean, you got to reach high. But let's bring Nolan in. Nolan, what's going on? You take a lot of shrapnel here.
Why?
On this Featured Artist Friday.
I'm just a simple rookie producer over here, point blank period, as the great Q would say. But, you know, I wasn't aware of the beef. I guess we were going back to elementary school because Q told Rashawn. Rashawn was supposed to tell Bob, and Bob was supposed to tell me that there was a problem here. But somehow the got lost in translation there. But
that's just an Odyssey thing. Yeah, that happens.
Well, a lack of communication. Right. Yeah. I mean, there's always some communication problem. And if you tell me anything at Pickles on a Friday night, the chances I remember a Monday are pretty slim, to be totally honest with you. But that being said, great to hear from Q. Football's upon us. What do you think of Kobe Mayo making
Excited.
That debut, hopefully tonight, right?
I would hope.
Yeah.
I mean, you
Carrasco
call him up to ride the bench.
Looks like a shellable dude. And hey, it's not Arias has a gold glove on his resume, not exactly playing like a gold glover. He had that ball that was smoked by him yesterday. Gold glovers make that play, right, Nolan?
You would think.
Yeah.
But it's an entire team-wide defensive issue right now.
No
you can't
doubt.
Even point to one singular guy. I mean, Gunner, you know, case in point, he's like an error a night type of guy at this point. So, look, whatever the reason was for the delay with Kobe Mayo, don't really care. I'm just glad that it wasn't a service time manipulation situation, and he can finally get his chance. And if we're being real here, all right, most of the Orioles prospects that have come up in recent history have had some sort of stretch where they've struggled a little bit, whether it was right away or after a couple months. If Kobe Mayo is going to struggle out the gate, better to have that happen here in August. Maybe he's good to go by September and fully contributing. Whereas if you waited with the service time, you call him up in September, well then, all right, he gets 1 month, a taste of the majors. Maybe he struggles for that entire tenure and he's a non-factor for the playoffs. Get him up here as soon as possible. Let him go through any struggles that may occur. It might not even occur. He might be great. Who knows? But let's figure it out as soon as possible. No need to wait.
Let's revisit the mother of all overreactions last April with Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah.
He needs to go back to the minors. He's struggling. Maybe he's not ready. How'd that work out for you? But we don't know. Hey, Mayo could have a Jackson Holiday-like beginning to his major league career, but he's here. It's August. They're tied for first. They're playing the team with the best record in the American League. He's here for a reason, and hopefully it's a reason. The reason is to help the Orioles maintain their advantage on top of the American League East. We'll come back. News from the Nets. Talk some Ravens. Buy or sell. Where's our weekend money? We'll count it at 12:15, hopefully. And then Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer. Talk about these new kickoff rules. Saw two teams last night. Houston's expected to contend maybe for the AFC Championship. Could Chicago be last year's Houston, if you're picking up what I'm putting down?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.